Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Konam Yayin Shenitam Lishana. Yisabra Shana Subo Beibur. If a person makes a neder that he will not drink wine for an entire year, so entire year, in the case of a leap year such as this year, it is a full 13 months. He's not allowed to drink wine. Ad Rosh Adar. If a person made a neder not to drink wine till Rosh Adar, Ad Rosh Adar Rishon. So the neder is in effect until the beginning of Adar Rishon. Ad Sof Adar. Ad Sof Adar Rishon. If he made a neder not to drink wine till the end of Adar, so it applies till the end of Adar Rishon. And that is the that's the Mishnah. There's another Gersa that Taran brings, but Taran in the end has difficulty explaining that Gersa, and therefore we'll remain with this Gersa. One of the issues raised in the issue of a leap year is which one of the others is actually the regular other of all year round, and which one is the additional month. And this thing, of course, has halachic implications. One, we could say, regarding Kriyas HaMegillah, but of course we never read the Megillah in the second Adar, and now we have Psukim to prove Gemara Sugin and Maseches Megillah, Yigeres HaPorim Mezeres HaShenis, B'chol Shana B'Shana. So we learn that you're supposed to read the Megillah in the second Adar. But that not all poskim accepted the fact that the second Adar is the actual Adar. One of the big nafkaminas is for Yartzeit. A person has Yartzeit in Adar. So if the Yartzeit happened in a regular year, not a leap year in Adar, the question is, when is this person supposed to observe the Yartzeit during the month, during the year, leap year? Is he supposed to do it in Adar Rishon, or supposed to do it in Adar Sheni? And these things are machlokas aposkim. So here we have a sugya. The Mishnah says that if a person makes a neder not to drink wine till Rosh Chodesh, till Rosh Adar, so it's Adar Rishon. So the Gemara continues. Al Mastam Adar Adar the Ka'ama Rishon. Leima Masis and Rabbi Yehuda. So we see that Stam Adar is Adar Rishon. Let's say that the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda the Tanya. Adar Rishon, cause of Adar Rishon. If a person is writing a star, so in the first Adar he writes, this is Adar Aleph. Adar Sheni, cause of Adar Stam. In the second Adar, he doesn't have to write Adar Sheni, but all he writes is Adar Stam, and Adar Stam is Adar Sheni. Dim Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, it seems to be that Rabbi Meir is saying that the second Adar is the plain Adar, while Adar Aleph is the additional Adar, and that's why you have to specify Adar Aleph in the Shtar, not other bits. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Adar Harishon Kosev Stam. Rabbi Yehuda says the first Adar, he write plain Adar. Adar Sheni Kosev Tinyan. And the second Adar, you write Adar Tinyan, meaning the second Adar. So Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying, like our Mishnah, that Adar Stam is Adar Rishon, and Adar Sheni is an additional month, and that you write, you have to specify Adar Sheni. So the Gemara wants to say that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Meir, because our Mishnah is saying that Adar Rishon is Stam, and according to Rabbi Meir, Adar Rishon is Adar Sheni is the plain Adar, and Adar Rishon has got to be specified. Amar Abai, I feel the same Rabbi Meir. We can establish our Mishnah like Rabbi Meir also. Hadi Yoda de Ma'abar Shata, Hadi Lo Yoda. If Rabbi Meir did that Adar Rishon, you write Adar Rishon, that's only if at the time you knew that that is going to be a leap year. It's not like today, where we have a set calendar, and we already have a set calendar, we know from now till forever which years are going to be leap years and which years not. But in those times, the Ibur Shana, the adding a leap year, was done arbitrarily. And Beis Din decided based on certain criteria, of course, but there's no set thing in advance, and Beis Din can decide all the way till as Machlokas in Maseches Edios how far Beis Din can declare that there will be a second Adar. Is it till Tesvav Adar Rishon, or till the end of Adar Rishon? So it could be that we're running into Adar Rishon, and no one knew yet that they're going to, Beis Din haven't decided yet that they're going to add a month. And then, in that Adar, you write Adar Stam, even according to Rabbi Meir. But, if the Yadah de Ma'abashata, if you knew that it's going to be a leap year, then Rabbi Meir says that in the first month you have to write Adar HaRishon. So our Mishnah that says Ad Rosh Chodesh is Adar Arishon could be going giving according to Rabbi Meir. It's talking where they didn't know there was going to be a leap year. And since they didn't know there was going to be a leap year, so when the person says Adar Stam, so it's the first Adar that comes. But if they already knew that there's going to be a leap year, and the person says until Adar, then according to Rabbi Meir, that would be Adar Sheni. But Tanya, the Gemara brings a proof to this, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Arishon. If Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Arishon, if a person says Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, the Brisa says it's still Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. But if it's a leap year, it's still Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. So the Gemara says, "M'chal de Reish Alav Beres Askina." It seems to be saying that if it's Shana Beres, then it's Adar Sheni, and if it's not Shana Beres, then it's Adar Rishon. If it's not a Shana Beres, if it's not a leap year, then it's not Adar Rishon, then it's plain Adar. And of course, a person makes to Rosh Chodesh Adar and makes another. Of course, it applies only to Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. So the Brisa should be read like this. Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, if a person makes a plain neder without knowing that it's going to be a leap year, the Brisa didn't declare yet it's going to be a leap year, so then it's Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. But if the Brisa then already declared there's going to be a second Adar, so then Stam Adar is Adar Sheni. And the Ran brings the Karmelina halacha kim the Karmel the Ramer Rav Yehuda halacha Rav Yehuda nakdinin the Mistama the other Rishon Mashma. We go like Rav Yehuda that another Rishon he writes Stam and another Sheni you write Tinyan, and that's the halacha, and therefore the Ran concludes that a person writes another Sheni and he just wrote plain other, so then it's a Shtar Mukhtam and it's possible. Lamaisa today, we avoid all problems. In other Rishon, we write other Rishon. In other Sheni, we write other Sheni. And that's how the problem is solved. Of course, the issue would be if a Shtar comes to best and it just says other and doesn't say other Rishon or Sheni, what would be the status of that Shtar? One interesting archaeological evidence to bring is that in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, not far from Hebron, they found a whole archive of pottery shards that had on it inscriptions from the time of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, this place was settled at the time by the Edomites. It wasn't settled by the Jews, but they were under the Persian rule and used the same calendar system that the Jews used, and the Persians for that matter. The months that we have, the names of the months that we use, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, etc., are Babylonian months, and we didn't take them from the Babylonians. The Ramban says in the famous drasha for Rosh Hashanah, around the year 1270 in Akko, the Ramban says we don't take it from the Babylonians, we take it from the Persians. Why do we take it from the Persians? Because we want to commemorate the fact that under the Persian government, we got permission to build the second Beis HaMikdash, to come back to Israel and build the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Persian kingdom used this system, and likewise Bnei Yisrael used the system also, and the Edomites used the system, and the pottery shards have lists of agricultural supplies, which mentioned again by Edomites. Clearly, the names are Edomite names. How can I say for sure that they're Edomite names? Because each nation put their god's name into incorporating the people's names. So, by the Jews, you have Yirmiyahu, you have Yud-Heh-Vav, Yishayahu, you have Yehoahaz, Hashem's name integrated into people's names. By the Moabites, where their god's name was Chemosh, so they incorporated Chemosh into their names. So we have seals like Chemosh Natan, Chemoshet, names with Chemosh. The Edomite god, not mentioned in Tanakh, his name was Kos, and they found a seal in Petra areas called Kos Gabar Melech Adom, and this archive of pottery shards that I'm mentioning, all the names over there have the name Kos in it, so they're Edomite names, and they have dates on it, and years. And the years are for the Persian kings, King Artaxerxes, one of the last Persian kings, and some actually run into King Philip, Alexander, etc. One of them, the most interesting for us tonight, is a pottery shard that says, it mentions a date, and it says, La'adar Achri. La'adar Achri means the second Adar. So we see that they mentioned, it was a leap year, and they mentioned the second Adar. which in Pasha Trap will be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, says that other Shani Yirat Tinyan, and Yerushalmi have, it's enough to write a Tuf, and that's good enough, the Edomites may wrote Ochri, or anything to actually, we can distinguish that we're talking about the second other, not the first other, so it wouldn't be confusing when the issue comes to best. We'll talk a little more about the process of the leap year, how exactly it went, from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. We won't go into the full sugya because it's very complex to understand the sugya, to understand the requirements of when we make a leap year. But, as I mentioned in the opening statement, the leap year today is not dome to the leap year in the times of Chazal, in the times of Chazal and the times of Tanakh. The leap year was done based on sitting and deciding that for certain factors caused them to make a leap year. Just to refresh our memory, why do we actually make the leap year? So as the Rambam describes, the solar year is 365 days and a quarter, and that's a full cycle. However, the Jewish people count the months to the lunar calendar. There are no months in the solar year. Of course, they have months, but these are arbitrarily done. 31 days, 30 days, 28 days, 29 days. No real reason to declare a month. They just took a year of 365 days and divided it up into 12, whatever fits best. But it's no real reason for it to call a month. In the moon, you don't have years, you only have months. So a month in the lunar calendar is 29 and a half days every time the molad, the newly born moon, and if we multiply that by 12, what we're going to get is 354 days. So we're missing 11 days. So if we continue our calendar running 12 months of 29 and a half days, every year our calendar would move up by 11 days, meaning what happened, Aleph Adar today would come out in a month, in a year from now, 11 days earlier on the solar calendar. So what's so bad about that? The problem is that the Torah says, as the Rambam says, Shamar is Chodesh Aviv, the Pesach has got to be in the month of spring. And if we continue this pace, we're going to have Pesach already in the winter and in the summer. And therefore we make a leap year. The Arabs, for example, the Muslim calendar is totally a lunar calendar. And they don't have any leap years. And this way they actually have their holidays all different times of the year. After a 33-year cycle, they actually moved around the entire calendar. So in order to cover this, what's done is a system of leap years. Today, the system of leap years runs on 7 out of every 19 years are leap years, and that pretty much precisely, not exactly, but pretty much covers all the problems. Every 19 years, we add 7 months. The system we have today is called, known as Guch Adzat. Guch means Gimel Vav Ches, 3, 6, 8, Adzat, Aleph Dalet Zayin Tes, which is 11, 14, 17, and 19. And those are the 7 years of the cycle that we, the 7 years of the cycle that we make a leap year, and everything is set. But in ancient times, as I said, there were different factors that were taken into account, and based on that they made leap years, and sometimes they actually pushed off a leap year, even though it was supposed to be a leap year, but if certain agricultural situations dictated to push it off, it was pushed off. The sugya is actually in Sanhedrin in the first parak. As I said, we're not going to go into the entire sugya because it's very complex, but I do want to bring out the story with Yeravam ben Nevat, which is in Sefer Melachim, and offer a possibility to explain what happened over here. So, we're going to open Sefer Melachim, Melachim Aleph, Melachim Aleph, Parak Yud Beis. Pasuk Choftes to Lamed Gimel, the end of the parak. When Yeravam ben Nevat and the ten Shvatim broke off from the Malchus Yehuda, so Yeravam was afraid that if Bnei Yisrael would go back to Yerushalayim b'Makriv Korbanos, so then the people would join forces again with Malchus Beis David, and he would be out of a job. So what did they do? What did Yeravam do? He made two golden calves, and he put one in Beit El and one in Dan. The one in Dan actually was found in archaeological excavations. And it goes on, it says the whole thing, what he did, Vayaz Beis Bamos, Vayaz Kodim Miktos Arma Shalai Bnei Levi. He took Kohanim, who weren't Bnei Levi, to work in these, for these, in these Bamos with the golden calves. And then it says, Vayaz Yerovim Chog, Pachodesh Hashmini. B'chamisha osar yom lachodesh, kechog asher Yehuda. Yerovim made a celebration on the 8th month, on the 15th day of the 8th month, kechog asher Yehuda, similar to that celebration, similar to that festival that was in Yehuda, he did in the 8th month. Which festival was in Yehuda? During the 7th month, the month of the 7th month of 15th Sukkot. And Yerovim decided to do it here in the 8th month. And then it continues, and the month that he invented from his heart, there he made the celebration. So Yerovam made the Chag on the 8th month, and Rashi brings that he was Doresh Chag Asif. It's supposed to be in the 8th month. Okay, the question is, how could you put this in the 8th month when the Pasuk actually says, B'chamish Osa Yom L'chodesh Hashvi, Bas B'chamish Vasa Arz, T'chogus Chag Hashem Shivas Yom. In the 7th month, you should do the celebration of Chag Osit, the festival of gathering your Tavuah, should be in the 7th month. And Yerovim Mizorosh is supposed to be in the 8th month. So, first you could say, don't ask questions on Yerovim and Nevot, and then problem solved. Okay, that may satisfy some people. But Yerovim and Nevot, Chazal talk about his Torah and his greatness, and before he went off to Derech and made the Avodah Zarah. So, perhaps there could be some other explanation in this behavior of Yerovim to move over the celebration of Sukkot from the 7th month to the 8th month, which is actually Cheshbon. So, the sugya is, as I mentioned, in the first parak in Sanhedrin, and it goes through a whole list of things that you make a leap year. Ashlosh Advar Ma'abim, Sanhedrin Yudalef Amud Beis, Es Hashana. For three things you make a leap year. Ala Aviv, if you see that the new grain is not ripening yet, and the fruit valat kufa. And if you see that the seasons aren't aligned, you see, and Rashi says, Be'at kufas tamuz, shmezakevas v'memshechas, hen kufas tishrei mefels ad avor ha'chag, ma'abrin. Be'at kufas tevesh, and nimshech zman ha'tezayim b'nisan. If you see, the seasons are off. In Hebrew, the seasons go by the names of the months they begin. So tikufas tamuz is the month of is the summer, and tikufas teves is the winter. So Rashi says the tikufa can be one of two things. It could be that the summer tikufa is lasting so long that Sukkot is going to be in the summer and not in tikufas tishrei, not going to be in autumn. Or if you see that. Or if you see that Tkufas Teves, the winter, is going to land on the 16th of Nisan. Now, not to get into the whole details over here of exactly how the dates work, but every half year, if every year jumps 11 days, so every half year jumps 5 days. So Rashi says we have two things over here that can be a factor. Either that the Tkufas Tishrei is going to run too late, that all of Sukkot is going to be in the summer instead of being in the autumn, or that Pesach, Tezayin, the beginning of spring, will already be after Tezayin Nisan. And the Gemara goes on through a whole list. There are other factors also why they do Ibur Shana. Ole Regel, who along the road and didn't make it, if the roads aren't available, so we make a leap year, etc. And the Gemara also goes in and has codes that we don't make a leap year during the Shemitah year. And we don't make a leap year during the Matzah Shemitah year. Because the Shemitah year, we don't want to, as Rashi says, we don't want to extend another year, another month of Issar for them working the land. And Matzah Shemitah, they have to wait for the Chodesh another month. So we do Ibur Shana only on the, preferably the year before Shemitah. And today, obviously, we don't do that because we see we have the Shemitah now and we have a leap year. So we'll try to get to that also. But anyway, the whole sugya, sitting in Masechah Sanhedrin, is discussing Chag HaOsif. the month of the gathering is the month of the gathering. There's the festival of gathering, which is Sukkot. Does the entire Sukkot have to be during the autumn, or does part of Sukkot have to be or part of Sukkot has to be in autumn? So the Gemara over here is talking that the big factor is whether Sukkot will be in the autumn or not. One more thing that we have to mention. The Gemara says on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph Tana Rabbanan, Ein Ma'abrin Es Hashana Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. You don't declare the new year before Rosh Hashanah. V'mibru Einam Muberes. And even if they were ma'abirit before Rosh Hashanah, then it's not a leap year. But if it's the time of tchak, if they're afraid that they won't have a bezdin who can do Ibur Shana, so then they can do it right after Rosh Hashanah. And nonetheless, even though they declare the Ibur so early in the year, they declare the Ibur in Tishrei, nonetheless, you can only do Ibur the month of Adar. You can't add 2 months of Teves or 2 months of Shvat. You can only add the month of Adar. In Pasuk Shat, the reason why you ma'aber Adar is because the purpose is so that you have Chodesh Aviv on time. So that's why you ma'aber. That's why you ma'aber Adar. But Tosu says over here a different Shat. Ein ma'aber le'Adar. Tosu says you'd be somehow v'chol shar Chodeshim ein ma'aber. And all other months, we don't make a leap year. Dechsiv lechodesh neimasar, hu chodesh adar. The 12th month should be adar. Pasuk in the Megillah. V'ima'abra ma'achas b'shar chodeshim, lavi yodesh neimasar. If you're going to make a leap, if you're going to add a month, let's say a teves, so then adar is going to be the 13th month. And therefore that, we can't do an ibur in any other month except for adar. So that's a very interesting thing that Tosfos says. The reason is a very interesting reason, because you have 12 months a year, and if you can add any month, what's actually stopping that month from becoming the next month? The only way you can add a month to the year without it beginning the next month is if you add it at the end of the year. So you didn't begin the next year yet, Nisan, so then you have the extra month. But if you added another Teves, so the next Teves is actually the 11th month. It's Shvat. It doesn't matter that you declared a Teves. It's actually the 11th month. That's what Tosfos says. The Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush Shachodesh, Perek Dalit, Halacha Aleph. So the first part we read already. Shonim Berberes Shonash Masifim Bachodesh. It's a year that they add a leap year. It's a year that they add a month. Ben Masifim LaOlam Al Adar. You only add Adar. V'Olsim Olsim Shnei Adar. You may do two Adars. Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni. Ne'ma Masifim Bachodesh. Why do we add this month? Because of the time of spring. That Pesach should come in the time of the spring. The month of Nisan should be in the time of the spring. If you want to add that extra month, if you won't add this extra month, so Pesach sometimes would come in the summer months, and sometimes would come in the winter months, and therefore would necessary to stabilize the calendar, as I explained before, to fit with the solar calendar. And then the Rambam goes through the whole thing to say how Besin decided that it's going to that it's necessary to declare a leap year. The Rambam, for some reason, does not raise the issue of Chag HaOsif, that the Chag HaOsif has got to come during Sukkot. The Rambam says, all we look at is the Aviv. We don't look, the Rambam doesn't seem to play any factor with the month of Sukkot, with the Chag of Sukkot being in the month of, being in Tikufas in order. The Rambam, all he looks at is that Nisan should be in the spring. Now, it's definitely technically possible that you don't have to be Ma'abed Shana because of Nisan, meaning that Nisan is going to be in the spring, but by the time you come half year round later to Tishrei, you would theoretically have to be Ma'abed for the month for the Chag HaOsif. Now the Rambam doesn't mention Chag HaAsif, but according to the Gemara, that it mentions Chag HaAsif, that Chag HaAsif is a factor. So it could be that really Chag HaAsif is a problem, meaning that Sukkos is going to fall out too late for Sukkos is going to fall out too early in the year. It's going to be in the summer instead of in autumn. But there was no problem with Pesach. By Pesach, Pesach came out in springtime. Because, as I said, the year falls back every half year, 5 days. So, as I said, the Rambam doesn't look at Chag HaAsif at all. All he looks is at what happens in Nisan, and nothing else matters. If Nisan's okay, I don't care about the fact that the Sukkos will not be okay. That doesn't bother me. What's interesting is in that in Babylonian records, and by the way, the Babylonian system was a very ancient system. The names of the Babylonian months that we use, although with slight discrepancies, Nisan here, Sivan Tammuz, are ancient names, ancient Babylonian names in the El Amarna letters from the 12th, 14th century BCE. There's one of them that mentions the month of Elul, if I remember correctly. So these names were used, very ancient system. They used the lunar calendar, and the Babylonians were very familiar with the were very familiar with the problem of the solar year. Their whole life lived on agriculture, it's no surprise, and they also made leap years. What's interesting though is that in one of the years of the 19 year cycle, they made, instead of making a leap year in Adar like we do, they made a leap year in Elul. They added an extra Elul. Why? For that reason, because in the time of Adar, it wasn't yet imperative to add another Adar. But when it came around the next half year, so then it already was necessary to add another month. So instead of adding an extra Adar and making their Nisan to pushing it off too late, what they did was they had Adar regular, and when it came to Elul, they added another Elul, and making sure that their Tishrei would come on time. That is a Babylonian system. So this could perhaps be what exactly happened over here with Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat is Doresh that the Chag HaAsif is supposed to be, as Rashi says, in the 8th month. Now we asked, I mean, how could someone come along and say that Chag HaAsif is supposed to be in the 8th month when the Pasuk says, it's supposed to be in the 7th month. So what can happen here is that Yeravam ben Nevat decided that he is going to make a leap year, Elul, he's going to add an extra Elul instead of adding an extra Adar. Because that year, I'm still trying to figure out which year particularly it was, so far I haven't come out with that, but Yeravam ben Nevat ruled for... Yeravam ben Nevat ruled for a long time, and there's no doubt that there was one year during his, he ruled for, if I remember correctly, even 21 years. 22 years, which means he definitely ruled for that for a 19-year cycle, so definitely was one year during his reign that matched the Ibur of the Babylonian Ibur of Elul, and it could be that he decided to add a month of Elul instead of a month of Adar. What's the problem with that? So we saw it also says the problem is that when you add a month in the middle of the year, so then Adar is not going to be the 12th month, it's going to be the 13th. So in other words, if you add an extra Elul, so the second Elul, he calls it the 6th month, but in reality it's the 7th month. And if he adds the extra Elul, so then Tishrei becomes automatically the 8th month. So that's what the pasuk is saying. He made Chag HaAsif in the 8th month. So Rashi says, because it was Dorish, this is the time to make it, meaning he felt that this is the time of the year when Chag HaAsif is supposed to be. So he may have been right in that point, but he couldn't make a leap year by adding an Elul. And by adding an Elul, it inevitably turned Tishrei into the 8th month and not the 7th month. So he was Doresh that the Chag HaAsif should be this month, and therefore he made the leap year. But the leap year inevitably turned it into the 8th month, and that is B'chodesh HaShabbat HaMeliba. He invented this month that wasn't really the month the month that the Torah says, because he added the month that also says if you add any other month, then other becomes the 13th month, or any other month becomes a month later. Nowadays, as I mentioned, and I think we referred to this in last year, Rambam says in Kiddush HaChodesh Perek Dal Halacha Tzayin yearly, שזה שאום חכם אין מאב במשנה סיובן ובשביס שלא יאברם ונצורך הדרוכם והגשורם כיוצא בהם. That which חכם say that if it's a famine, a year of famine, we shouldn't know. Or if it's a shviyas, you don't make a leap year, that's only if it's being done because the roads aren't available, etc. So people can be all the regal. So then you do not make a leap year. Have you noticed that Shana really is Abram that kufam, they offer for parents, Eilad, Ma'abram, Le'olam, B'chozma. But if the solar calendar dictates that you have to be Ma'abram the Shana, then you do it even though it is a Shemitah year. And the Rambam seems to be addressing, Rambam says yearly, and yearly the Rambam usually says when he doesn't have a makor, he doesn't have a source for the halacha, just Misvara, so the Rambam says yearly. The problem in the makor for the Rambam is the fact that today, when we have the system of leap years, we don't take into account the Shemitah year, and we like this year, for example, is a Shemitah year and still a leap year. So the Rambam is bothered by that. So the Rambam's answer is that since we're being ma'aber because of the calendar, because of the tkufa, so it doesn't matter that the fact that it's Shemitah, we are being ma'aber. We have a few minutes. I promise to complete the issue of the Shemitah. Of the Shemitah boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. So today we're going to go on a little into the city of Eivor HaYarden, the boundaries in Jordan. The Rambam in Hilchos Shemitah Yovel, Perek Daled, Halacha Kaf Ches says, Eivor HaYarden Shviis Noheges Bama Divrayim. Eivor HaYarden Shviis is Drabanan, and the Svichim in Eivor HaYarden Amutar, Lo Yarotus Eilu Chamurim Eretz Yisrael Shechziku Bo, Ole Mitzrayim. The Rambam says that Eivor HaYarden, the Svichim and Eivor HaYarden, which is Jordan, Shemitah is Noheg Midrabanan, and the Svichim Amutar, because it cannot be any worse. It cannot be any worse than a land that Ole Mitzrayim or Machzik and not Ole Bavel, and in such a case, there's no problem with Svichim. Says the Rebbe. Amar Avraham, Eivor HaYarden, Ma Yitzach Leviyah Mekal V'Chomer, Harei Lo Chziku Ole Bavel, V'chein Suryo. The Rebbe says, I don't see why the Rambam has got to bring us a special halacha, that in Eivor HaYarden there's no Svichim. It's simple. We saw the halacha that a place that Ole Bavel, the second base of Mingdash, weren't machzik, so there's no svichim. So if they weren't machzik in Eivor HaYarden also, so then there's no svichim. So why does the Rambam have to say lo yel aras eshelu chamurim meres eshelu chazikabo Ole Mitzrayim? That's exactly the case in Eivor HaYarden. So the Rambam seems to be saying, that Eivor HaYarden, the Jews did not live there. This man by Sheni, there was no kibush, and since there was no kibush, maybe it's not kafshu ole bavel. The cast of Mishnah already answers up the right with Yeshlama. Then on the other, kafshu ole bavel, k'tzas arotzas meivayad, and Masuria shuvah by Sheni, melachim takifim. We don't know. Maybe ole bavel did capture Eivayad. Because there were powerful kings in Bayasheni. We find that Yana HaMelech captured 60 cities, the Kofas Sheba Midbar, and the Kesem Mishnah assumes that all this is taking place in Eivor HaYarden, and the Kesem Mishnah is historically correct. Indeed, a lot of Yana's conquests were actually in Eivor HaYarden. What's interesting is, we spoke numerous times about the famous mosaic that is in the Rehov, that was found in the Rehov Shul. Rehov is a place near Beit Shan, and the mosaic here has all types of halachas for Shemitah. And the reason why it has halachas for Shemitah is because Beit Shan was absolved from the mitzvahs of Shemitah. That's the Gemara in Chulin. We gave a whole shiur on that, explaining what was absolved, yes, and what not, and why today that doesn't apply. And it also has the price of the Tchumin Shechziku Ole Bavel. And in it has a list of places. Some of the places we can easily identify, some of the places we cannot so easily identify. But when we get to the eastern boundary, we have places mentioned. Knas, Perekum Trachon Zimra, the Mitzchon Lebatzra, Yavko, Cheshbon v'Nachal Dezor Digar Sadusa. So we have over here Nachal Yabok, Nachal Cheshbon, Nachal Zered, and Digar Sadusa, and Nimrin. These are places mentioned which are clearly in Eivar Yarda, in the city of Cheshbon. We know Cheshbon Melech Amori. This boundary that's listed over here clearly covers the territory that's in Eivar Yarda. So would seem, like the Rambam, that the Eivar Yarden was captured by Oli Bavel. We're going to go a little now to the map, and I'm going to point out a few places and some of the issues that have been raised over here. I can mark on the map. What you see over here is Eretz Yisrael, including Jordan, at least some of Jordan. This is a satellite map. So the first place that's mentioned, Knas is somewhere up here in Syria today, a city called Kanata, commonly known. And Nachal Yabok is this Nachal Yabok over here. Is this stream over here that pours into the Jordan River. Afterwards, we have the city of Cheshbon. Cheshbon is sitting. Cheshbon is sitting, I would say, over here. Cheshbon is sitting over here. And then we have a mention of Nachal Zeret. Where is Nachal Zeret? So this becomes tricky over here. Most secular scholars identify this wadi over here, Wadi Chasa, as Nachal Zeret. And if so, according to them, the boundary, the eastern boundary of Eretz Yisrael for Oli Bavel is running down perpendicular to these points mentioned. Like this, crossing over Nachal Yabok, area of Cheshbon, crossing over Nachal Zeret, and going all the way down to Petra. There's a major problem with that. And the major problem with that is that over here, this Nachal here, which I'm going to mark in blue, is Nachal Arnon. And Nachal Arnon was the boundary of Moab. And south of Nachal Arnon was the area of Moab. And we know that Moab does not have Kedusha Shvius. And that's the whole sugya of Amon and Moab, Ma'aser Maserani B'Shvius, mentioned in Yevamos, mentioned in Chagiga, mentioned in Yedayim. So we know that this territory over here is Moab and is not Kodesh B'Kedusha Shvius. And thus, to run the boundary like this is actually impossible. Another problem with identifying Wadi Chasa over here as Nachal Zeret is that it says that when Bnei Yisrael came, it says that they went by Midbar Shel Bnei Moav in Mizrach HaShemesh. They're on the Midbar, this is east of Moav, and then it says that they crossed Nachal Zeret. According to most scholars, secular scholars, Moav is sitting above Wadi Chasa, and Edom is sitting over here. So it cannot be that Bnei Yisrael came east of Moab before they crossed Nachal Zeret, if this is Nachal Zeret. And for that, there's one of two solutions. One solution, which I've seen, is Sefer Bar Avdon Schwartz, where he wants to say that Moab controlled the territory over here also. And that's how he solves the problem. The other solution, which I believe is more correct, is that Nachal Zeret should be identified somewhere over here. One of the upper streams feeding, one of the upper tributaries feeding into the Arnon. And with this, we would come out with a different line for this boundary. The boundary comes to Nachal Yabok. This area over here is Amon, which also has no Kedusha Shmiyis, and this territory is Amon. So the boundary goes to Nachal Yabok, circumvents around Amon, continues dropping over here through Cheshbon, getting to Nachal Zeret over here, and from here, the boundary runs in and runs down along the Dead Sea. And this way, all the Moab territory and Edom territory is not included in the territory of Oli Bavel and does not have Kedusha Shvius. I was recently in the Badat's office, and I saw their map for Shvius, what they bring and what they don't. So this territory was all marked in red, Eretz Yisrael. The Jordanian territory, Eivar Yarden, was in red stripes. And this territory over here, they marked in yellow stripes, which means they really, evidently to say that it has a different status compared to the upper part. So this is definitely Eretz Yisrael, as the Rambam says, has a status, has no Sfichim, but it could have Kedusha Shvi. So Eliyashiv Shlita holds that even though you have to be machmer and peres nachim that they have kedusha shvius. But what grows in every yardin, everyone's moda that yesh koach be nachim lafkir midei ma'aser. So therefore, he says it doesn't. Even if you buy yevul nachim from Jordan, you don't have a problem of kedusha shvius. One more issue. No, we'll leave the Arabat on it for next time because it's a little late. So anyway, the territory. We're not passing halacha ma'aser. Let's clarify that again and again. But the way the boundary mentioned in Price of the Tchumen, it mentions Nachal Yabok, it's not crossing it perpendicular, it goes in by Nachal Yabok, comes out by Cheshbon, continues south, over here is Nachal Zered, here cuts in, and leaves out all of Moab, and the boundary will run somewhere over here in the south. But as I said, the southern boundary, we're going to have to leave for some other time to speak and elaborate on that, so we'll leave that for now. Yeah.